Hello, I'm Angela, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 5th of March 2025.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Angela, Christine, Ian, Helen, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Mina. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon, including the Lifestyle Newsletter for March. For the latest in the region's International Women's Day plans, we have all the latest news from the Black Country. There's some fascinating nostalgia too, as new research uncovers clues to an unsolved mystery from the 1800s. You'll have to be sharp of mind, as we have another quiz with Soundings contributors. Hopefully we'll be marching on brightly through the new month. We hear from Mina, who has the weather forecast for the week ahead. There's all the reaction to some wild weekend football action from Wolves and West Brom. With thanks to the Wolves Foundation and Beacon's Community Lifestyle and Gym Coordinator Daniel Clark, we continue our new podcast series, Sporting Stories, which focuses on some of our members at Beacon and the indelible impact such activity projects are having. And to celebrate International Women's Day on the 8th of March, we take a look at the life and astonishing philanthropy of a Victorian heiress. Local news to start with though, with me, Angela, Ian and Christine. The City of Wolverhampton Council has revealed food is still the largest single item by far, which residents ask the council for help with as part of cost of living support. The council has invested £15 million helping residents over the last few years with the cost of living using the government's Household Support Fund. Another £5.2 million has been allocated by the government for 12 months from April. Latest data shows over the last 6 months since the current government extended the HSF funding from October to end of March, just over £300,000 has been used to help residents specifically with food. This is way ahead of the next largest amount distributed on day-to-day essentials for households, such as bedding and furniture, of just over £200,000. Essentials linked to energy and water came next, at around £60,000 of funding allocated. Households with children are overwhelmingly the largest group who access cost of living support, with nearly 750,000 households helped in that category. Leader of the council, Councillor Stephen Simpkins, said, "We are as committed as ever to helping our residents cope with the cost of living, which is still stretching household budgets to the limit. Please come and talk to us if you need help. I don't want anyone to be in dire straits and struggling in silence. We have experts on hand who can work with you to find the best solutions, whatever the situation. Just talk to us." There's now a Food Alliance in the city, where the council is working with a wide range of partners to help people access good food at affordable prices. The Community Shop Network is also continuing to grow, with new stores opening soon. There's also the council's Pocket a Plate initiative. Sign up now to get the latest weekly recipes from Wolverhampton's own TikTok sensation, Mitch Lane, and community chefs Prince and Simon. Just follow at Pocket to Plate on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube. And another new project, City Homemakers, is coming soon, which will help people make small improvements to their homes without spending a fortune. It will encompass a number of ways residents can prevent waste, reuse, recycle, and improve their homes even during difficult financial times. Residents can find out more about all support available for cost of living on our City of Wolverhampton Council dedicated web pages.
And whilst on the subject of recycling and disposal, residents of Dudley can now book or renew their annual subscription for garden waste collections. It will cost £52, the equivalent of just £1 per week, for fortnightly pickups running from April to the end of March 2026, with collections only suspended for 2 weeks over Christmas. Residents can renew now online via My Dudley or by calling Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345. It comes after more than 72,000 households signed up for the paid service when it was introduced for the first time last year. People can book or renew a subscription on someone else's behalf without that person needing to set up a My Dudley account themselves. Neighbours can also opt to share a bin, which will only be charged to one resident and collected from that property. If residents choose not to opt in, no action will be required, but they will not receive garden waste collections. The move is part of measures to offset estimated budget pressures of £42 million next year to preserve critical frontline services, protecting vulnerable children and adults in the borough. Councillor Damien Caulfield, Cabinet Member for Highways and Environmental Services, said, "The many thousands who signed up last year shows how valued a service it is to our residents. It is convenient. With garden waste collected directly from homes, saving regular tip trips and a good quality, trustworthy service." Last year, the charge worked out at 70 pence a week for a 50-week service with 25 collections. Despite the severely challenging financial climate we are operating in, this year the charge equates to £1 a week, which is only 30 pence more. In exchange for that, residents will continue to get the service all year round, apart from 2 weeks over Christmas. And it is important to state, it is still optional. If residents don't want to subscribe, they can still take their garden waste to the tip in Stourbridge for free. "We will be doing all we can to ensure the extended and improved service continues to offer excellent value to our residents." For information on the Garden Waste subscription service and to book or renew, visit www.dudley.gov.uk/garden waste. If residents do not want to opt into the new garden waste service, an alternative to consider is compost bins, which normally retail at £129.99, but are available to Dudley residents for £89.99, including delivery. For more information or to order, go to www.dudleyrecycles.org.uk/composting. To note, the fee of £52 will be payable in one lump sum by debit or credit card. The option to pay monthly will not be available.
Now, here's a clever little tip that could save you a few pounds and many, many more litres of water. As Severn Trent customers are saving themselves thousands of litres of water, with almost 4,000 using the water company's VYN Video Your Notes platform since its introduction last year. It means that customers have saved over 600,000 litres of water since the start of 2024, thanks to videoing various toilet, tap or shower leaks around their home. Spotting these leaks means customers could have also saved themselves money in the process, as things like a dripping tap or leaky loo could add hundreds of pounds a year to a household water bill. Through Severn Trent's VIN platform, customers upload videos of their leaks, which are then sent to our team of engineers to review the footage. Once an engineer has taken a look at the video, they contact the customer to book a visit within the next few days to repair the leak, all completely free of charge. Kelsey Martin, Workstream Manager at Severn Trent, said, "It's great to see people taking action to spot and fix leaks as soon as they can through the VIN platform. Fixing leaks is one of those jobs that can easily be put off as people get on with their day-to-day lives, but it's important to get them fixed as soon as possible, as these leaks can make a substantial difference to people's water bills. Our VIN platform has already been a massive help to thousands of customers, helping them sort their leaks as soon as possible to ease any worries they have and saving millions of litres in the process. The platform means our engineers are able to see exactly what the issue is, rather than customers trying to explain over the phone. If a Severn Trent engineer isn't able to support with the repair, they will put the customer in touch with a WaterSafe accredited plumber in the area. To find out more, including how to access the platform and what you need to do to report a leak in your home, visit stwater.co.uk and search for VYN, V-Y-N. Time now to find out about all that's planned for the month ahead, as it's the Beacon Lifestyle newsletter for March.
Welcome to March 2025. There are so many new and exciting things happening at Beacon, and we are so glad you can be part of it. The Lifestyle Centre is now open Monday to Friday. We are always welcoming new members, so if you or someone you know would enjoy the amazing day centre we offer here, call 01902 880 111 for a trial day. VIP sessions. These sessions are held monthly and the activities are designed collaboratively to meet our members' needs. Our VIP group is a friendly bunch of people with sight loss who like to try new activities, build friendships and encourage others to live life to the full. Each meeting costs £3.50. If you want to be a part of a community that truly understands your experiences and wish to attend or find out more, please email or call Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org, or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org, or call 01902 880 111. VIP Queen's Cross. This group meets at Queen's Cross Network, Wellington Road, DY1 1RB in the Cafe Plaza. First Friday of each month, 1pm to 3pm. Refreshments are available to purchase at the venue. On Friday the 7th of March, we will be having a chair-based exercise lesson, the health check, and talk about future activities centred around the Diddley area. VIP Brett Young. This group is at Brett Young Gateway, Old Horn Lane, Halsowin, B633ST. You are able to purchase tea and coffee at the venue. Sessions are 1pm to 3pm every second Monday of the month. On Monday, the 10th of March, we will be also having a chair-based exercise lesson and talking about future activities centred around the Halsowin area. Beacon VIP. This group is at the Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Sessions are 6pm to 8pm. Get your team names ready and your teams too, because on Wednesday the 26th of March, we will be having a quiz and fish and chips night in the communal lounge at Beacon Court, £3.50 to Beacon. The food will be delivered at 6pm. These are the meals and prices from the chippy. Medium fish and chips with a pot of sauce, £7.25. Chicken burger, chips and a can of pop, £5.75. Veggie burger, chips and a can of pop, £6. And a pot of curry sauce, mushy peas or gravy, £1. The food will be ordered on Tuesday at 1pm, so please book your order and pay in exact cash to Katie or Dan on booking this activity for it to be paid in cash to the chippy.
March sessions. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org, or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org, or call 01902 880 111. Activities must be booked in advance. So on the Tuesday the 4th of March, come along to our booking session at Beacon Court Communal Lounge, 10am to 12pm. Or you can call to book onto the activities for March in the afternoon, 1 till 3:30pm. Katie and Dan will be available to take bookings and payments over the phone for anyone who can't attend the drop-in. On Wednesday the 12th of March, we're going for a meal at the Newbridge. Come along and enjoy a lovely meal with us. £2.50 to Beacon and £5.50 for the transport. Or meet us there. Transport will be leaving Beacon at 11:40am. The meal is booked for 12 o'clock. On Thursday the 13th of March, we've got book club in the communal lounge in Beacon Court from 10:30am to 12pm. We're a lovely group who love to talk all things books and always on the hunt for new authors and books to read. Price is £2.50. Tea, coffee and biscuits are available for you to enjoy while discussing your recent finds. We will also provide talking books from our nearest library for you to borrow. And that will be on the second Thursday for this month only. We're back to normal schedule in April, as it is normally the first Thursday of the month, but it's the second Thursday just for March. The picture on the right is of five people talking around a table with books. On Friday the 14th of March, we're going on a walk to the West Park, or around West Park. It'll be £2.50 for the walk and £5.50 if you'd like transport from Beacon. We'll be leaving Beacon for 10:30 a.m. or you can meet us at the park. And on Wednesday the 19th of March, there's a community activity meeting for the members. Please just take this opportunity to come and tell us what activities you would enjoy Beacon to organise for you and your friends. We really want your feedback to make the activities and Beacon the best it can be. This will take place in the training room that is on the top floor of the Beacon Centre between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. and that's Wednesday the 19th of March. On Thursday the 20th of March, we've got a pop-up cinema. So the film this month is Johnny English Strikes Again. The film has audio description. It costs £5 and will be taking place in the communal lounge in Beacon Court. And it's a 10:30 a.m. start. And the picture on the right is of a movie clapper. Friday the 21st of March, we're going 10-pin bowling. And it's two games for £7, which we pay at the activity. The activity costs £2.50 and our minibus will cost £5.50. We'll be leaving Beacon at 10:30 a.m. Our group loves to find new players, so see if you can get the highest score. And on Monday the 24th of March, we're having a baking session. We'll put on a session to make some amazing brownies. This will be in a day centre kitchen, starting at 1:30 p.m, which will cost £2.50. You'll receive the recipe on booking. And on Thursday the 27th of March, we're going to the Bridge North Garden Centre. Come and see the Garden Centre in the first week of spring. We'll also be stopping by the restaurant for lunch, so make sure to bring some money along for a lovely meal. And that again is £2.50 to Beacon, and it's £7.70 for transport from Beacon. We'll be leaving Beacon for 10:30. You're more than welcome to meet us there instead if you'd like. Friday the 28th of March, we've got a walk at Bantock Park. We're leaving Beacon again around 10:30 a.m. The activity costs £2.50 and the minibus costs £5.50. Gym. Contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111 to book in. Want to exercise within a fun and supportive atmosphere? Want to join classes or exercise independently? Are you someone who works out regularly or do you want to start? The gym is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It costs £5 per session, or you can have a membership which is £22 per month. You must complete a health questionnaire and induction before you start your exercise journey. And just please let reception know when you're going to go into the gym. Book in advance for gym classes. So on Thursday the 6th of March, from 1:30 p.m. to about 2:15 p.m, the light chair exercise class, which involves light, gentle and progressive movements in the chair. And on Thursday the 18th of March, from 10 a.m. to about 11 a.m, I'm going to do a cardio HIIT class. So HIIT stands for High Intensity Interval Training, but it's basically a slightly higher intensity, looking at movements and getting that blood pumping for like a set amount of time with rest periods. And that's also £5. And also on Monday the 24th of March, within the gym, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m, we're going to do our indoor bowls, and that'll be costing £2.50. Community Activity Volunteers. We would like to invite you to meet with us to share tea, biscuits and your ideas and thoughts of future possible activities. We're proposing to meet on Monday the 13th of March at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Please contact Katie or Dan to let us know if you're available to attend. The picture on the right is of a teapot with a teacup, saucer and biscuits. Foundation. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. Now on Tuesday the 11th of March and Tuesday the 25th of March, we're going to the Walls Foundation at Aldersley. So it's a multi-sport session and it's completely free, and we'll be leaving Beacon at 10:15 a.m. These will be the last sessions at the Walls Foundation. And also on Thursday the 6th of March and Thursday the 20th of March, The Lords Foundation will be in our day centre from 10:30am to 12pm. These sessions are also completely free. Picture below of the Wolves logo. The Sight of Sound. To book on, contact Kaylee Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. Running on Wednesday the 12th of March, 1pm to around 2:30pm in our day centre, and it's the final session and the session is free. So you'll be enjoying engaging drumming workshops that ignite creativity. No pro experience is required. It's led by professional drumming expert Mindy Singh. Bring everyday objects such as tin, bowls, pots or mugs and get involved.
Meet the staff. Mohammed is our TPT Communications Internet Beacon, part of a fantastic programme that offers people with sight loss the opportunity to gain valuable work experience. After 4 rewarding years at the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford, Mohammed was keen to further his marketing skills and begin earning, and the internship at Beacon proved to be the perfect opportunity. Mohammed says, "I was looking for something in marketing and the TPT/Beacon Communications intern role was a perfect fit and came at the perfect time." Since joining Beacon, Mohammed has been an enthusiastic and creative addition to the team. He has already contributed fresh ideas for accessibility improvements, such as suggesting a tactical bump for a lift button located near the fire alarm, and has supported our communications and digital campaigns to be more accessible. Mohammed adds, "The first few weeks have been amazing. The time has just flown by. Everyone is friendly and supportive, always happy to help, even with a nice hot cuppa." With the support of Beacon and dedicated mentors and a buddy system through TPT, Mohammed is building his confidence and exploring various aspects of marketing, from social media to media releases, while also developing his public speaking and filmmaking skills. "I truly appreciate being listened to and knowing that my suggestions are valued, whether it's for accessibility or new campaign ideas," he remarks. "We are delighted to have Mohammed on board and look forward to seeing his innovative ideas and enthusiasm continue to make a positive impact at Beacon." Sight loss support. Do you need support with your vision impairment? Come see our sight loss advisors to get some advice and support on your sight loss journey. You can make an appointment with them by calling 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. The sight loss advisors are here to support you in being able to do a task with support, such as helping you try equipment to enlarge text, equipment you can use at home to help with tasks like making a cup of tea or using the washing machine. They also give you some guidance on how to live with the change of sight loss and what is available to you through the government, for example, a blue badge. Our sight loss teams are incredible and caring. They will support you with any questions you have.
Come and join our Warmth and Welcome Hub, a place where you can keep warm and socialise with others and get a hot drink and a snack. We'll be discussing helpful tips on keeping warm during the winter weather and saving energy. Sessions are completely free. You'll also receive a free Keep Warm, Keep Healthy pack. Sessions will be held at the Beacon Centre on the following dates in March. So, Monday the 3rd of March, 11am to 1pm. Friday the 7th of March, 11am to 1pm. Monday the 10th of March, 1pm to 3pm. Friday the 14th of March, 1pm to 3pm. Monday the 17th of March, 11am to 1pm. Friday the 21st of March, 11am to 1pm. Monday the 24th of March, 1pm till 3pm. Friday the 28th of March, 1pm till 3pm. And Monday the 31st of March, 11am till 1pm. For more details and information, please contact 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So, it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880 111 or emailing inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual card access, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days of the year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can raise an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of a wellbeing time call to go through anything you would like help with, such as post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact 01902 882 170.
Time now for some fascinating nostalgia, as new research has uncovered clues to an unsolved mystery hanging over Cannock since 1888.
It is a historical crime conundrum which has hung over a village near Cannock and intrigued historians and authors. The case was, of course, celebrated, championed by the likes of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Sherlock Holmes, as campaigners protested that there had been a miscarriage of justice. But now, a book called Get It Algy presents compelling new research using modern techniques and uncovering important clues, including the inadvertent role the Express and Star may have played in triggering those events in late Victorian and Edwardian Britain. Idalgi was the son of the vicar of St Mark's Church in Great Whirley. While intelligent, he was what would today be considered a nerd, with a disconcerting manner and no friends. He was suspected by police of being behind a long-running campaign of poison pen letters in the village, written under assumed names. Then animals began to be mutilated in a series of sickening attacks described as the Great Whirley Outrages. Idalgi, a solicitor, was charged with an attack on a pony. Found guilty despite his denials, he received a 7-year sentence, being released after 3. Petra Webber has written the book under the pseudonym Rose M. Schmolick. It's an anagram. We'll leave it to readers to do the elementary detective work to unravel of what, to reflect the international team of experts who have supported the project. She said, "We researched the crime case of George Idalgi, who was convicted in 1903 for maiming and writing threatening letters in Great Whirley. This research was done in collaboration with forensic linguists, who did analyses suggesting that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was mistaken in his case assessment. We have published our results in a crime case analysis entitled Get Idalgi. Since 1888, in an unusual and very intriguing way, the Express and Star Archive has held the key to those complex and confusing events. Petra, who is from Cologne in Germany, has been doing crime podcasts since 2008, combining her crime novels and short stories with reports on historical crime cases. She came across the Adalji case when a listener suggested that she should do a show about it.
The strange affair began in 1888 with a series of poisoned pen and threatening letters in Great Whirley. A teenage maid at the vicarage, Lizzie Foster, was blamed by the police and the Adalji family, and she was taken to court. Even on her deathbed in 1905, she swore that she had nothing to do with it and asked her husband to clear her name. As it coincided with the high-profile campaign to prove the innocence of Adalji, the only other suspect, her deathbed plea was drowned out. The letters, hoaxes, and fake newspaper announcements were to continue over many years. They included things like false wedding and funeral announcements, and appeared in publications so geographically diverse that some may remain to be discovered to this day. Police believe George Adalji was behind it all. While they never had any clinching proof, their suspicion was to tell against him when the animal maimings began. As Petra read out the case, she began to suspect George was autistic and consulted Claire Allerley, professor of forensic psychology at the University of Salford, who deals with cases in which autists come into conflict with the law. Conversations with her confirmed my assumption, said Petra. From that moment on, I found myself immersed in this story. I wanted to know if it was possible to uncover something today that had been hidden for so many years, to fulfill the dying Elizabeth Foster's wish and grant her some posthumous justice. It was a quest which was to take years. As she delved deeper, she discovered there was an amazing amount of material available, including original documents at the National Archives in Kew, London, while the British newspaper archive proved invaluable. In particular, she was looking for as many letters as possible containing texts written by George Adalji, so they could be compared with the poison pen letters to detect any telltale similarities. I became increasingly convinced that all evidence pointed to George Adalji as the writer. However, I needed forensic confirmation and a solid foundation to proceed. This came from forensic linguistics expert Dr. Isabel Piconel, whose analysis forms a star piece of new evidence in the book. It is a report of her findings after forensic comparison of Adalji's writings and the poison pen letters, rather like looking for literary fingerprints. The verdict? Put simply, he very likely wrote them. Forensic linguistic analyses, both manual and AI software-based, in combination with the clues and evidence from the events, led to the assumption that George Adalji wrote letters over several decades, said Petra. He did not do this to scare people. He was just mirroring his literature-inspired fantasies and thus enforced demands that he could not communicate in any other way. However, Petra says, there is no clear evidence of any involvement in the animal mutilations. On the contrary, our research suggests that George Adalji had a much better relationship with animals than with people, or women in particular.
Adalji and his supporters were to gain a partial victory in fighting to clear his name. After a campaign including petitions to the Home Office, he was granted a pardon for the pony outrage, but was denied any compensation on the grounds that, to some extent, he had brought the troubles on himself through the letters. But what had inspired him, if that's the right word, to start writing the letters in the first place? Petra says nobody had ever examined the newspapers of 1888 when things had all kicked off. She engaged a professional researcher to look through the Express and Star from August to winter of 1888 and look at them through the perspective of a young boy. George was 12 at that time. It turns out that the Star serialised a story called An Ocean Secret, being a strange story of a dead man's gold. It was written by James Skip Borlase, best known as the author of Ned Kelly, who would write boys' adventure stories for the Penny Dreadfuls, Petra believes that echoes of Borlase's style can be seen in the letters. One aspect of the affair which attracted attention then, as now, was that George had an Indian father, Shapurji, and English mother, Charlotte, who hailed from Ketley in Shropshire. However, Petra maintains that racial prejudice was not the reason why police blamed George. The book finally provides vindication for the poor maid who unjustly took the rap for the earliest letters being bound over for 6 months. On marriage, she became Mrs. Elizabeth Ann Smith and lived in Heath Hayes. The book is dedicated to her and two other victims, Enoch Albert Knowles, who was also accused of writing threatening and offensive letters and received a 3-year sentence, and Horace Hidalgi, whose off-message belief that his elder brother did indeed write the letters led to him being estranged from his family, a break sealed when he adopted his wife's name, McGee. There may still be descendants from these families who would appreciate the rehabilitation of their relatives. I would be delighted to hear from them, said Petra. As for George Hidalgi, he followed a career as a lawyer and died in 1953 in Welwyn Garden City, aged 77. Now it's time to test your knowledge. Here come the quiz questions for this edition.
Hello and welcome to your regular quiz section. My name is Anne and I have 5 short questions for you. I hope you're ready, and let's begin with question 1. In which country was Elon Musk born? Question 2. Which country has the most islands? Question 3. How many hearts does an octopus have? Question 4. December the 26th is known as what in Ireland? And question 5. Which planet is closest to the sun? And that's all for this quiz. I'll speak to you again soon when I bring you the answers.
Cheers for those questions. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now is another Beacon update.
If you need help with sight loss, then filter glasses might help you. Filter glasses are a range of glasses specially for sight loss, designed to protect your eyes from harmful UV rays and reduce glare and bright light, and also improve contrast as well. They make things clearer to see and your eyes more comfortable. They can either be worn on their own, or you can wear them over your existing prescription glasses. Wearing a sun hat or a baseball cap or a sun visor can also help too. So if you'd like to try the range of Cocoon filter glasses and find the right lens and frame to make life a bit more comfortable for you, then call Beacon Sight Loss Advisors for an appointment. You can call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. Hasn't the month of March brought in some marvellous weather? Well, you will be pleased to hear that after a spell of spring-like sunny weather to begin the month, it does look as though it's all set to continue through the coming week, with a forecast for mild temperatures and increasingly dry, brighter weather. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:30 a.m. for the sunrise and 6:05 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday, 7th of March, it's looking as though the day will start dry, with a few sunny spells breaking through, with a gentle southeasterly breeze bringing with it a warmer front. Temperatures will continue to be really comfortable at 14 degrees, making for a rather pleasant day. And this pattern of weather shall continue as we move on into the weekend, with the gentle breeze, lovely temperatures remaining at 14 degrees, and clear skies bringing with it spells of sunshine on both Saturday 8th and Sunday 9th of March. So it does look very much like a wonderful weekend full of sunshine. On to next week, and the outlook is also rather bright and spring-like, with plenty of sunny intervals expected from Monday 10th right through to Thursday 13th of March. However, there will be a subtle change to the weather, with a breeze drifting in more from a northeasterly direction. Temperatures will reflect this, feeling a little cooler at around 9 degrees. So, there we have it, another forecast full of sunshine and cheer. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather.
Cheers for that weather update, Mina. Now it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on.
Albion put in one of their most impressive displays under Tony Mowbray, as they went toe-to-toe and earned a credible point at Leaders Leeds. Mowbray said his lineup was going to be one that indicated he wanted to go and win the game, and he wasn't wrong. A year ago, Albion would have gone into the game to set up, defend, maybe nick one on the break. We saw that, even before the opening Leeds goal, as Swift went closer to an opener, with Albion trying to start on the front foot. And throughout the game, Mowbray was rewarded for a brave selection, because his side did look like they held a threat against the Leaders every time they got into the attacking third. Yes, Albion had to soak up an awful lot of pressure at times, certainly later on in the game. That was a throwback to the defending under Carlos Corberan. When Mowbray came in, he said he wanted to keep a lot of the good work Corberan had put in defensively, but make Albion more attacking. At times, we kind of saw that at Elland Road. It was different to displays against bigger sides earlier this season, in that Albion were willing to have a go at every opportunity they got. Chances didn't flow in the second half, but the intent was there, and that was the most pleasing part. They showed grit to dig in and not concede a late goal, when at times this season, they have folded at the end, and they kept having a go. Credit goes to Mowbray for throwing on the likes of Daryl Dyke and Tom Fellows late on, with the latter almost carving out a chance. It was a display that many associated with Albion predicted they wouldn't see. The fact the Baggies faithful are sitting, going, "We could have won that," says everything. It was another step in the right direction. And if that 1-1 felt like what is described in cricket terms as a winning draw, then for the Wolves, their feisty 1-1 score draw was anything but. With talisman Mateus Cunha given a straight red card as Wolves lost to Bournemouth on penalties in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Bournemouth took the lead when a defensive mix-up allowed Evan Nielsen a tap-in as the hosts pushed a shaky Wolves defence. VAR and failed semi-automated offside technology caused a long delay in the second half before Milos Kerkez's goal was given as offside. Wolves never looked likely to capitalise on that goal being ruled out, but Mateus Cunha's thunderous 35-yard strike dragged them level. And from the sublime to the ridiculous, Cunha's wonder goal was a moment of beauty. What followed was unforgivable from the Brazilian, a total head-loss moment. In the 119th minute, deep into extra time, a period in the match where the hosts battered the visitors, Cunha appeared to hit, kick, and headbutt Milos Kerkez, and was given a straight red card. Cunha reacted badly and needed to be taken off the field by teammates. The visitors held firm in defence to take the game to penalties. Wolves went on to lose the match with Matt Doherty missing the fifth penalty, a spot kick Mateus Cunha would have taken, and that would have taken the club into the FA Cup quarter-final. The old gold have now been dealt a major blow in their relegation battle as their star man faces a minimum 3-game ban. Cunha will now definitely miss the Premier League games versus Everton at Molineux, Southampton at St Mary's, and West Ham back at Molineux. Should Wolves have won the game, Cunha would have only missed 2 Premier League games plus the FA Cup quarter-final. However, the FA will take into consideration the referee Sam Barrett's match report to determine whether the incident where the Brazilian striker appeared to hit, kick and headbutt Milos Kerkez deserves further punishment. If Cunha's ban is increased, Forward would also miss the crucial match with Ipswich at Portman Road at a minimum.
Hi, this is Jamie, a Wolves fan. After Wolves 1, Bournemouth 1, losing 5-4 on penalties in the FA Cup, I thought it was a good battling performance. And I thought that the debacle at the end, it's put us in desperate trouble. Because having Cunha out for the next 3 games, maybe even more, because you wouldn't get off the pitch, just get off the pitch. It's left us in absolute tatters. And now Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Fulham 2 in the Premier League from last week. I thought that we gave away 2 very cheap goals at the beginning of each half, which gives us a mountain to climb yet again. And we ended up losing that game. So I think Wolves are in desperate trouble now. I really do. I think we're in desperate trouble. I mean, they say nobody has ever, after 27 games and only having 17 points, has ever survived after that. But this is Wolverhampton Wanderers here that you're talking about. So I think we're in desperate trouble. I just do. I just think we're in desperate trouble. And I'm just hoping for some miracle. So anyway, I shall speak to you again next week. Bye.
And talking of Wolves, past few months has provided Beacon with the fortunate opportunity to collaborate with the Wolves Foundation. With a series of multi-sport sessions and activities held across both the Beacon Centre and the Wolves Foundation in Audersley, with thanks to Beacon Community Lifestyle and Gym Coordinator Daniel Clark, we bring a new podcast series, Sporting Stories, which focuses on some of our members at Beacon and the indelible impact such activity projects are having.
I'm just here with Jamie, who does a few of our community activities. So, Jamie, I know you do the tandem. First of all, do you enjoy the tandem?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's something that can go. It's a good morning out.
No, that's good. And do you find it helps physically and mentally doing activities, getting out there? Just generally as well, mate, to be honest. Yeah. You used to use the gym here as well. Is that something else you'd like to look to get back into as well? I know it's since I've been here.
Yeah.
That's something to look at. That's
absolutely awesome. It's because I've got a lot of my own equipment in my flat.
Oh, yeah. Of course, mate. Of course. No,
but... I mean, it's like...
No, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to have a chat about that, by all means. But in terms of activities you used to do, I know when I volunteered here like 10 years ago, I used to do the goal ball. Is there anything else that you used to do, mate, that you're not doing now, that you'd like to do in terms of sport activities, anything
we
like
did,
that?
We did water skiing.
You did?
We did water skiing. At the reservoir.
Yeah.
It was, it's actually quite good. Yeah. Really good fun.
And is there any other sports you've done in general in the past? Not here, just generally anything like that? Any sort of activities in the past or sports or anything?
I played football in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did you do that? Serve interest, really? Where did you do
that? I did it QA.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now, we do run those football sessions as well, those Wolves Foundation sessions, so we do go to Audersley. Once every 2 weeks, and we do it in the day centre once every 2 weeks, of course. You're welcome to come down to them as well. They're just little activities that they do. But yeah. Is there anything else you want to add to that conversation in terms of activities or sports you've done or you want to do or anything like that, mate?
No, not really.
No, quite not. Thank you.
Now, here come the quiz answers.
Hello again. This is Anne with your regular quiz section. And the first question was, in which country was Elon Musk born? Elon Musk was born in South Africa. Question 2 was, which country has the most islands? Well, that's Sweden, and it has 270,000 islands. Question 3 was, how many hearts does an octopus have? An octopus has 3 hearts. Question 4. December the 26th is known as what in Ireland?
Well, it's known as St. Stephen's Day. And question 5 was, what planet is closest to the sun? And that's Mercury. And that's all for this time. I'll speak to you again soon when I bring you the next quiz.
Up next, let's have another block of local news.
Achievements of women past and present are being celebrated, from scientists and writers to today's business leaders and sports pioneers. Museum curators have used Women's History Month to focus on untold stories, while chambers of commerce are holding talks to learn from success. International Women's Day is on the 8th of March, but talks, walks and exhibitions are planned all month across the West Midlands and Black Country region. Jenny Wilkes, Chair of Wolves Women, will be speaking about roadblocks women face, role models to inspire them, and self-belief as the football team celebrates its 50th anniversary. Ms. Wilkes, who has been chair since 1999, said women still faced roadblocks and unconscious bias was one of the big things, together with imposter syndrome. In football, people still think women cannot play and cannot be pundits or be on the TV, she said. But she said role models were important and, if you can see it, you can be it. Now, when the women play, it's not just girls who turn up wanting autographs, but boys too, she said. She said confidence mattered, adding, women don't think they can do it, but it's about self-belief. Miss Wilkes will give a talk for the Black Country Chamber of Commerce at Molyneux as an exhibition on Wolves Women is launched at the Wolves Museum at the stadium. Among the other organisations staging events is Shropshire Chamber of Commerce, which said its event sold out last year. It said it had planned another memorable gathering, with guests including fire service chiefs, a voice coach and an HR expert on military careers. Meanwhile, Staffordshire Chamber of Commerce will hear from 3 trailblazers who have spearheaded initiatives in gut health, pet safety and online fitness. The month-long focus on women's history includes several talks at museums in the region. The Brampton Museum in Newcastle-under-Lyme will look at women passed over as just wives, when in fact they made their mark on their times. Selly Manor Museum in Birmingham is holding a sold-out symposium looking at the life of Dame Elizabeth Cadbury and the role and expectations of women in late Victorian society. Staffordshire History Centre will look at the work of 19th century astronomer Mary Black, who lived in Cheadle, but whose studies took her to the stars as she mapped the moon and revolutionised our modern understanding. Meanwhile, cycling group Coventry CTC is celebrating the achievements of the author George Eliot by pedalling 26 miles to places linked with the writer described as one of Warwickshire's most famous women. The club said it had promoted and developed women in its own activities, and the event provided a good time to reflect on how that mission should develop. A women's history walk in Lichfield will explore the lives of women with links to the town across the centuries, who displayed agency and achievement. Events focusing on women at work include talks at the University of Wolverhampton, which is bringing women in creative industries together. The Jam House in Birmingham will celebrate women in law, with a chance for professionals to network and exchange ideas. Environmentalists will hold a panel discussion at Hereford's Green Dragon Hotel to shine a light on the challenges women face while celebrating their contributions. Herefordshire's Women's Equality Group will champion women at work, including trailblazing achievements and the everyday. And Worcester Trade Union Council will remember the struggles and resistance of women around the world and celebrate the many achievements that have been won with a day of exhibitions, presentations, music, poetry, craft and campaigning stalls. With International Women's Day on March the 8th, Soundings contributor Liz McIntyre Allen now tells the story of an unexpected heiress in the Victorian banking family who spent decades sharing her wealth and knowledge in Britain and across the world. She used her inherited millions to improve life for many people, getting involved in projects with Dickens, Nightingale and Livingstone. Her wide-ranging support improved education, housing, hospitals and animal welfare, among many other projects. Introducing the life and astonishing philanthropy of Victorian heiress Angela Burdett Coutts.
DNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz the Niece Kilbride here. As some of you will maybe know, I like to shine a light on people who should be better known. So our choice today is Angela Burdett Coutts. Yes, indeed, of the banking family. Now, what a story. I'll try to give you just some aspects of her life, but please, please, I'm leaving things out. She was a very busy woman. She was a contemporary of Queen Victoria, and in fact was described by Edward, Victoria's son, as the most remarkable woman in the kingdom after my mother. Well, he was keeping himself all right with the Queenie, I suppose. She was probably not expected to inherit the enormous wealth of her grandfather, who had founded the Coutts Bank. There is some suspicion it was some kind of dark family joke that many other members of the family, men of course, were overlooked. And then when she was only in her 20s and the old guy had died, the vast sums of money were given to Angela, who was an attractive young woman in her early 20s who suddenly became one of the richest women in England. Then followed many years where every man, it seemed at some days, would be knocking on her door because considered themselves as suitable husbands and the suitable men who would guide her in spending, saving, or otherwise using up the vast fortune. How much? We're talking millions and millions of pounds. Angela was having none of this. Her father had been a radical MP. From him, I think, she brought some of her social attitudes, certainly her love of animals, and above all, I think, a determination to make her own path in the world. Stage one was don't be married. She had a very loyal governess and then companion for over 50 years, one Hannah Brown. And again, the stories are that Hannah helped her to avoid some of these prospective husbands and delay the marriage, which wasn't really a top of her list. What was on her list was doing good. That seems a bit tame. In a Scottish phrase, a bit peely-wally. She was nothing of the sort. She was not just a lady bountiful. She was not just the woman sometimes called the queen of the poor. This was a smart woman determined to see where the money was going, to make it do the greatest good, to keep an eye on it, and above all, I think, to network with the people that she thought, both in Britain and abroad, would improve the world. I mean, where do I start? If we're looking at animals, Angela gave money to working donkeys, to establish drinking fountains for horses. She was president of the Beekeeping Association. She was very, very fond of dogs and gave money for helping them to be cared for better. Now that leads to two aspects of her life. One is very Scottish. She was so touched by the loyalty of the famous wee Greyfriars Bobby that she gave the money for the statue, which is now the smallest and one of the most popular public statues in Edinburgh. And another aspect of her love of animals, she was right there at the first early committees, the ladies' committee, trying to establish help for animals. And that was the catalyst for what became the Association to Care for Animals, the RSPCA. Now, it wasn't just animals. It was people, people of all ages and of all social classes and, let's face it, of all social choices as well. She worked closely with Charles Dickens, no less, establishing a home for the fallen women of certain areas of London to bring them into a more respectable way of life, and funded Urania Cottage. She also worked with the children in London, gave money for the ragged schools, provided many thousands of meals during a London cholera epidemic. The bigger picture was they needed water, safe water. Here is Angela providing drinking fountains. She set up a new housing complex, trying to provide proper sanitation, fresh air and decent living accommodation right in the centre of London, which distressed her so much. And when people were sick, what did she want to do? Help them. She was the woman who gave initial funding for what became the world-famous Royal Marsden Hospital, a centre for cancer research and care known all over the world. She also made sure that people's employment could be retained wherever possible. Many of you will know the wonderful music from My Fair Lady and Eliza Doolittle, the flower seller. Well, Angela knew that world, and when the vagaries of the economic market were bringing a decline to the income of the flower sellers in London, she set up training schools for these girls to find more employment. It wasn't just children, perhaps in homes. There was this vast, vast issue of children being badly treated. And once again, Angela set up the committee, had her contacts in Parliament, her contacts in the upper echelons of society, and that was the founding status that she was in there that became the NSPCC. To such an extent that when Esther Ranson was asked to decide on a hero of Britain, she named our Angela Burdett Coutts. Now that's the British focus perhaps, but she was an internationally looking outward kind of person. When Florence Nightingale sent letters from the Crimean War, desperate for supplies and money, Angela sent them. She was profoundly distressed by the Irish potato famine, wanting to give money, to give supplies, to give hope. But more than that, let's look to the future. Let's look for alternative earning opportunities. She put a huge amount of money into trying to develop the fishing industry, especially in the area of Baltimore in Ireland. She was sometimes referred by the people there as the Queen of Baltimore. Even further afield, again, through these social contacts, she was a very close companion and advocate for the British way to be exported. Now, we might have many and definitely valid reservations about the empire, but Angela's way was to support people like David Livingstone, who was not an empire builder. He was far more an anti-slavery campaigner in Africa. So she gave money to Livingstone. She gave money to develop archaeology research in Palestine, thereby establishing some of the earliest excavations in that historic and indeed so troubled land. What more could I say about our Angela? Well, I haven't mentioned that she had bought many old masters. I haven't mentioned that she bought lifeboats. I haven't mentioned that she gave money to one Charles Babbage, often seen as a very early pioneer of these thinking machines. Nowadays, we would call them computers. And I think perhaps one interesting aspect of Angela was she was not just an open checkbook. She made sure the money was needed, was used properly, and could do the greatest good. Now, when she lost Hannah Brown, her long-term companion, she took in as her secretary a young American, and the American was called William Bartlett. They worked closely together. They worked very well together. And hey ho, what did our Angela do? She announced to the shocked members of Victorian society that Angela, the richest woman in England, planned to marry her secretary, William. Now, William was not only 40 years younger than Angela, he was an American. Could you get more scandalous? Because you see, in terms of Angela's will and inheritance, she would immediately lose 2/3 of her vast fortune if she married, in legal terms here, if she married an alien. That's a first. And she did. And she still kept the respect of many, and she kept plenty of money to keep doing her wonderful work. I think Angela was a surprise to people. That's an understatement. When this marriage became public, Queen Victoria was very aghast. She had thought Angela was a great gal. She had awarded her the title of Baroness in her own right. But she didn't take the Baroness title away, but she did remark that when she saw Angela, age 67, with her husband, aged 27, that Angela, she looks like his grandmother, said the Queen. The reports are that he went on to be an MP and that they had a very happy union. And after she passed away, he continued much of her charitable work. There is a rather macabre story concerning the death of Angela Burdett Coutts. By then, so famous, so respected, so loved, the vast funeral was planned. A section of Westminster Abbey was put aside for her final resting place. This resting place was the size to take the urn of her ashes. The funeral took place, 30,000 people lined the streets, and when her body arrived at the Abbey, well, let's just say communications had been a bit befuddled, because the funeral brought along the coffin. There was not space for the coffin. But they decided they couldn't stop such a public funeral, such a very grand event. So Angela Burdett Coutts, in her coffin, was buried in the Abbey upright. I hope that hasn't dimmed her glory in your eyes. Some of the words said about her are just, she was a one-off, a force of nature. But you know, others say that she was a lady unknown. Well, we're doing our best with this wee insight into Angela to make her a little better known. And I hope once again you've enjoyed my look at the life of Angela Burdett Coutts. Take care. Bye-bye.
DNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!